The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Texas authorities say at least one person has been killed in a shooting at an Air Force base in Texas. Bexar County Sheriff spokesman James Keith said today that deputies have responded to reports of an active shooter at the Joint Base San Antonio, Lackland, that is home of Air Force basic training. In Austin, police say they've arrested a suspect now in the slaying of a University of Texas student earlier this week. Authorities say one of the two men who escaped from a Washington State psychiatric hospital was caught yesterday in a nearby town. Stanley Green watched the arrest go down.
Saw a guy running across the parking lot coming from that way. He kind of just didn't know resistance, just kind of sat in, just kind of talked to him. And
Stanley Green spoke to KOMO-TV. The second fugitive, considered more dangerous, though, who was once accused of torturing a woman to death but then found mentally incompetent to stand trial, he is still on the loose. Ted Cruz raised about $12.5 million last month as he worked to gain momentum in the GOP presidential contest. His campaign manager, Jeff Rowe, tweeted today that over the first 3 months of the year, Cruz had collected $32 million in all. The chief political correspondent for Politico says former President Clinton's run-in with Black Lives Matter protesters in New York shows he's a mixed blessing on the campaign trail.
We're talking about two elements here that are really dangerous: his volatility and the fact that his principal concern seems to be defending his own president.
Glenn Thrush spoke with the Salem Radio Network. The Commerce Department says U.S. wholesale businesses reduced their stockpiles for the fifth straight month in February.
Inventories held by wholesale businesses slid 0.5% from January, the biggest drop since the 0.6% decline in May 2013. Sales fell 0.2% in February, and the smallest drop since sales were flat in October.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. On Wall Street, the major index is thriving so far in early trading. Right now, the Dow is up about 109 points. More of these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
From the creators of God's Not Dead, A Classroom Answer could cost Grace Wesley everything.
They're looking to destroy you.
I'm not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
Free, God, free! God's not dead, he's dead alive! He's
living. God's Not Dead, too. Now playing. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and showtimes available at godsnotdead.com.
A series of recent crashes involving school buses has led to renewed calls for seatbelts.
AAA is joining the call for seatbelts on school buses after recent crashes in Virginia and Maryland injured three students and killed a driver. Only a half dozen states currently require the restraints. The head of the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration is also on record in support of seatbelts. Opponents, however, argue school buses are relatively safe and that the cost of installing the belts could be thousands of dollars per bus.
That is correspondent Wally Hines reporting. The cost of mailing a letter about to go down for once. Beginning on Sunday, the price of a first-class stamp drops 2 pennies to 47 cents. The reduction is a result of an expiring surcharge that had been put in place in January 2014 to help the beleaguered Postal Service recoup about $4.6 billion in losses. Breaking news from Town Hall. His words, jeopardizing the integrity of the judicial branch by refusing to consider his nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court.
We are going to see the kinds of sharp partisan polarization that have come to characterize our electoral politics seeping entirely into the judicial system.
During a visit to the University of Chicago Law School, the president pressed the case for the stalled nomination of Merrick Garland to the nation's highest court. A St. Louis jury has sided with tobacco giant Philip Morris in a class action lawsuit that sought about $1.5 billion. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that the suit alleged the company deceived smokers by claiming light cigarettes were safer than regular cigarettes. The jury sided with the company after deliberating less than an hour yesterday following a month-long trial. More on these stories from townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We're back with you, America. Good to have you along with us. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez reminding you that we're in over 270 markets across the country, around the world via shortwave, as close as your smartphone even. That's how smart they are today. With us right now is the author of Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. Kevin Ring is with us. Kevin is the counsel to Senator John Ashcroft in the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee's Constitution, Federalism, and Property Rights Subcommittee. Kevin Ring, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, congratulations on the book. You know, I guess, you know, when you're writing about a justice that is so iconic and whose legacy will live for generations, you got to feel like a little bit like you're on hallowed ground here, did you?
Yes. In fact, I'm glad that the book is not a biography because I don't know that I could do him justice. But, you know, this was, I set out to write a book that would have come out for his 30th anniversary on the court. And that, as I was finishing it up, of course, the news came in that he had passed. And so, no, it definitely felt like an awesome responsibility, and I'm glad that it's got a more modest aim and is really just trying to set up his opinions, convey his philosophy, but otherwise let him speak for himself.
Well, and that was my sense as I was reading the book, is like it was a book probably that just kind of wrote itself in a sense, because, I mean, it's about him, it's his language. You're tying this all together brilliantly, I might add. I was really impressed in how you did this, but it's just, it just comes off the pages, and you get such an added value and perspective of one Justice Scalia.
Well, thank you for saying that. I don't think there could be another book about a justice like this. I mean, there's not many people who want to read Supreme Court opinions all day, and most of them are pretty dry legal language, you know, some statutory interpretation or, you know, some boring legalese. But he didn't write that way, and that's what makes him, what made him so different and allows a book like this to happen, is just that he was an incredibly persuasive, colorful, you know, funny writer, and he took a lot of, paid a lot of attention to his craft. Clarence Thomas told a story about, you know, Scalia coming into his chambers and saying, "Clarence, wait till you hear this one," and he'd read his opinion because he took pride in it. He knew that his words mattered, and he knew that even in dissent, he wanted to call attention to his opinions so that someday some future generation might make those majority opinions. So he was just such a gifted linguist, and that's what I hope people get from this. Even if they disagree with his opinions, they'll see how strong his reasoning was and how gifted he was at conveying his opinions.
And he wasn't, you know, just lost in the language to get lost in the language, as you kind of suggested, Kevin. Some jurists, attorneys even, you know, all due respect, you know, can get caught up in the language and, you know, almost create a, you know, kind of a sub-language in and of themselves. I mean, he really wanted to communicate like you say, if it was a dissent or whatever opinion he was rendering, he knew that, you know, people are going to read it, not only other attorneys and other judges, but, you know, the common man as well. And, you know, this is what I appreciate about your book is you brought Scalia, you know, to the common man to where, you know, if they only heard about him, and especially, you know, since his tragic and unexpected death in February and have read some things about him, this allows us to get a little bit deeper and, you know, to kind of understand and know the man, the judge, you know, a little bit better.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I also appreciate the distinction you're drawing between sort of good language, and by that I don't mean flowery and, you know, just sort of, you know, great syntax and grammar. Mm-hmm. It was his ability to convey complex subjects in simple language. I mean, in some cases you feel like you're reading an extended op-ed mm-hmm. by, you know, a writer that you enjoy who's conveying important legal subjects, important constitutional debates, but in language that people understand. So when he says things like, you know, a priest has as much liberty to proselytize as a patriot, mm-hmm. he's trying to say that just because you're conveying religious things doesn't mean that you lose your rights to speak under the First Amendment. I mean, he put things in such pithy and sort of concise ways that really made it easier for the common person to understand the debates that were being had at the court.
Well, his, you know, we've touched on this, and not to beat this to death, but, you know, it's just, you know, again, it's part of his brilliance, is his literary style, as you say, and wrote about how it exerted gravitational pull on the law, you know, even when he lost. So it really challenged even those that were victorious. It challenged their position to where, you know, it probably caused them to go back and maybe even reread. You know, their opinions to make sure that, okay, it could stand up in light of Scalia's scrutiny.
You know what? And it's exactly right. And it was such a neat story that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg told at the memorial where she said she had written the majority opinion in a case called VMI. It was U.S. versus VMI, and they were challenging its role as a single-sex institution. Mm-hmm. And Scalia wrote an incredibly barn-burning dissent. And he was, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg was his friend, but he was about to shred her majority opinion. And he went and said, I'm not finished with this draft, but I want you to have as much time with it as you can to respond to as many of the arguments as possible. And that's what's just so amazing about the court, which is so different than the debased political debate we see, you know, especially in a campaign season, was that he wasn't just trying to score points with his language and his words. He really wanted to have an honest-to-God debate where, you know, he conveyed his views as strongly as possible, and he wanted the other side to try to challenge him and to take him on. And so, that, you know, and she even said, my opinions were stronger for having heard his opposition strong.
Exactly.
And so that's why I think his opinions, you know, they're the most present opinions in law school textbooks, because even when you disagree with them, you need to know why. You need to figure out how he got it wrong, because you knew he was going to have something smart to say.
Exactly. Well, he represented the other side. If there's two dynamics on the court, you've got that progressive, liberal, interpretive side of the, or understanding of the Constitution that it is a breathing document. That seems to be the order of the day, supported by the president. And Scalia believed, no, it's a dead document. What the founders said is what they meant, and we need to consider law. When we're reviewing law against the Constitution, it's against what they had at that time, what they understood the culture to be, not advance the culture and say, okay, we need to reinterpret the law based on what the culture has come to.
That's exactly right, which is not to say that he believes it's society not progressing. Mm-hmm. So when it came to clear constitutional rights like the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment against search and seizures, you know, he would protect the Fourth Amendment. He'd protect your liberty in your house from, you know, bomb-sniffing dogs, thermal imaging when they were trying to search a house for marijuana growth. I mean, he would apply it to the Internet, you know, so it wasn't static. He didn't say, well, wait a minute, these things didn't exist at the time, so they can't exist today. It wasn't a Luddite view. All he said was, if it's not in the Constitution, we don't have the power to create rights. So if you want this document to evolve, you need to amend it, or you need to convince your fellow citizens in a democracy that they're right. So if you want abortion, abortion, if you want physician-assisted suicide, those things aren't my business because they're not in the Constitution, but I'm not for them or against them. You go persuade each other. So he has this view of sort of this dinosaur who wanted to take people backwards in time, but I think all he was trying to do was say there's a limited role for the judiciary, and it's not to be on the vanguard of new ideas and cultural improvement.
Exactly. Well, the unexpected death of Justice Scalia in February, on February 13, 2016, undoubtedly shook America. Not only did the justice system lose a great jurist, but America lost its leading constitutional conservative. We're talking with Kevin Ring, author of the new book, Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissent.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
Whoa, we sing hallelujah. Whoa, we sing amen. Hear the sound of the saints.
Welcome back, America. Our conversation continues with the author of Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissent. The book is just released, and Kevin Ring is with us. Kevin, the book available in all the usual places, of course, right?
Sure. Amazon, you know, anywhere online, Barnes & Noble, and as they say, fine bookstores everywhere.
Exactly, and it'll be linked on our fine website as well, BillMartinezLive.com. Justice Scalia was not there for the argument of Roe v. Wade, but he chimed in from time to time about it. Give us some insight into his position on that.
Well, those are the most, in my view, no matter what he's written since, those are some of the most powerful opinions he's written in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which is in the book, Webster, and also then the partial birth abortion decisions that came later. It clearly bothered him that this completely fabricated right that the justices made up in 1973 held on. And remember, he got to the court in 86 when they thought there was a chance to overturn it. And he thought he was going to be writing, you know, a majority opinion to overturn it, send this back to the states for the most part. And Justice O'Connor, Justice Souter, and Justice Kennedy went the other way. And so his opinions there in those cases are some of the most fiery, some of the most passionate opinions you'll read, because he thought in that area, more than any other really, the court just had no business, and what it was doing was bringing disrepute to the court, because then you had protesters coming, standing outside the Supreme Court saying, vote our way, vote this way, and he was thought, this is exactly what we're not supposed to be doing. They should not be lobbying us to get their way. If the Constitution is quiet on this question, which it is, and then there's no history of protecting this right throughout history, there wasn't, then we stay out of it, and we let the people decide. And as later would happen with gay marriage, he thought the country was working its way through this issue democratically.
Exactly.
So he just thought it was a terrible thing for them to usurp that from the democratic process.
Well, if ever the court, I mean, certainly after 73, it became obvious that activism had become the new order of the day. And then there was a question, you know, were they overstepping their boundaries? What happened to the separation of powers? The court was not created to create law. And now you have them stepping into that situation. And I could imagine that Justice Scalia felt that maybe he could right a wrong, you know, reestablish some credibility for the court, because I just sensed that this really bothered him.
Yeah, and as I said, you can see that in the opinion. And as I mentioned earlier, people would, you know, make note of the fact that he was calling out other justices by name, belittling their arguments and all the rest. And there was a method to that, which is when you disagree with somebody strongly, I mean, essentially, if you're falsely accused, somebody said, oh, you know, you shot that person, you wouldn't say sort of blandly, no, I didn't. You'd say, no, how could you possibly say that? I wasn't, you know, you would vehemently deny it. And so when he was in dissent, he was saying, he was basically jumping up and down on the page saying, look at what they just did. Look how wrong they got this. And so if his language was strong, like I said, it was for a purpose, which was to really draw a sharp contrast so that people could understand just how wayward the court was. And I really think that is what, you know, that has influenced future generations, because all of these opinions now have become well-known. They seep into the culture. They're in law school textbooks so that people can say, okay, I think he's right on this. And even Roe v. Wade is a perfect example, where you see now here a lot of liberal justices, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg, say it was a poor decision. I mean, they support the right, but even they think the decision was poorly reasoned.
Well, and you mentioned also Scalia's position on gay marriage, and that it was working through the courts, as you wrote about in your book, Scalia's Court. It was working through the states, and the courts kind of preempted that process. And he challenged that. He didn't like that was. And also, he brought to mind that here we are, for a millennia, we've accepted, you know, the nature of marriage, even as noted in the Constitution. And within a short order, I mean, it was a short number of years, 12 years, you know, but boom, I mean, this thing, you know, gained traction, and now the court is making a decision on gay marriage.
Right. Right. And Scalia would usually say about this, and somebody was telling the story earlier today about his philosophy on this, which is basically who decides. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ultimate resolution of the issue is one thing, but who decides is equally important. And so for him, it wasn't nine unelected federal judges in Washington, D.C., who are completely unrepresentative of the population, right? I mean, these are people who are hyper-educated, more than half went to Harvard Law School. They're in their 70s. This is not the face of America. Exactly. So his view was, why are you bringing these decisions to us? These are things that our democracy is supposed to work out. And so that's what bothered him a lot, was just the lack of humility, in fact, the arrogance of the court saying, no, we have a better pulse of, finger on the pulse of what the American public is thinking, where they're headed. And this was a classic issue where people on both sides of goodwill had been persuading each other, and things were moving. Sometimes it was passing, sometimes it was losing, but that's democracy.
Well, and that's part of the challenge. You know, we were talking about this recently on the show, is that due process takes time. And, boy, you talk about the clash with this culture. You know, we're a microwave generation. We stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry up. It just doesn't move fast enough. So then you have due process that goes through its process. And when it does, it works better, I believe. And also a sense of arrogance that the justices had to feel. And I'm sure Justice Scalia felt the same way. You're talking millions of votes got vacated overnight, I mean, 8 million alone in California, not to mention other states across the country.
That's exactly right. So when the court steps in and takes things away from the democracy, it just makes itself the subject of, lobbying, right? Mm-hmm. So you're getting mailbags sent to the Supreme Court saying you're getting, this decision wrong. That's totally backwards. But these are things people should be communicating to their state legislators or their congressmen. And so by being so impatient and stepping in, showing it gets it, it's on the right side, the New York Times is going to praise it for, reasoned judgment, it just takes things away from the people. And I think that's just not an appreciated point. And it's one I think that, people who support originalism, textualism, sort of Scalia's judicial philosophy, mm-hmm. should make clearer when they talk about this that all he's asking is that these issues be preserved for the people.
Exactly. Well, Kevin Ring, what about Obamacare? I know many people were really surprised the way the court came down, especially in light of what some saw as the president's intervention and almost, kind of prodding and, I'm not sure how you'd put it because I want to be respectful here, but I didn't appreciate the president's comments about, to the Supreme Court about Obamacare. It was almost like a warning he sent them.
Yeah, and I remember when he did this with Citizens United, and mm-hmm. he chastised the Supreme Court while they were sitting right there at a State of the Union saying,
yeah, Judge Alito did not like that one bit. No, yeah.
Yeah, and that's such a perfect example too, right? Because everyone's for the First Amendment. Running an ad about a political candidate 30 days before the election is the most fundamental core political speech the First Amendment was designed to protect, no matter who's funding it. And, and Justice Scalia stands up for Citizens United, but now, people on the left say, well, that's too much freedom, I guess. So it's a strange thing, but I agree with you. I don't like when the president is exerting any sort of influence or even trying to with the Supreme Court. I think it really is a problem for separation of powers. And Obamacare, it's really hard to know what went south there for Chief Justice Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
But Scalia got those both right. And I think, again, I think he wasn't even surprised by the end of his, tenure here that things were going that way. But I think it drove him crazy, especially one of the cases dealing with the individual mandate. The state exchanges, that the language in the statute couldn't have been clearer. And yet the court rewrites the statutes to try to make it all come out right. And that was pet peeves. One of the pet peeves was to say, our job is not to rewrite the statute. If it's, mm-hmm. we interpret it the way they wrote it, and if it's unconstitutional, we send it back to them. That's it.
Well, to me, that was applesauce, but that's just me. Yeah, Kevin Ring, counsel to Senator John Ashcroft in the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee's Constitution, Federalism, and Property Rights Subcommittee. His just released book, I'll tell you, a must read. It is absolutely fascinating and terrific. And thank you so much for doing this, Kevin. Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. Thank you for coming on Bill Martinez Live.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7 second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7 second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7 second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth.
Attention, everyone. Everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. Please do not turn off your radio.
This is Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America.
He's going to bite them in the rear end.
If you were in the Oval Office of the President tonight, and he said to you, what should I do? Am I doing enough? Your answer is what?
My first thing would be get back to the Oval Office, because this is a problem that we have that we have to come to grips with. My first thing with him would be we have to organize ourselves much, much better than we already are inside of this country. And we have to make sure that we have the leadership involved that needs to be involved and has the authorities to basically do what they're being asked to do. When our military, our intelligence, our other resources that we have to keep coming back to the National Security Council and to the White House for Mother May eyes, nothing will happen, Greta, and it's just not going to happen on the speed that these guys are operating at. The enemy that we're facing are operating at a much, much higher speed today, both in social media and in the world of cyber, as well as tactically on their battlefield. Brussels is their battlefield. Paris is their battlefield. San Bernardino is their battlefield. We don't look at it like that. We have to do that. So that's the first thing I would do is tell the president that. And then we can start to figure out what we need to do internationally. But we have to get our own house in order first.
Well, you know, this is a good point. It's like what you're talking about with Ed Klein is that, you know, the call for the president to come back to the Oval Office and be on top of what's going on. I mean, after all, this was an attack on the headquarters of the EU. And now we're told 400 terrorists have been given marching orders, and they're scrambling across Europe right now to wreak more havoc. This is Bill Martinez. Welcome back, America. It is just about 26 minutes before the top of the hour, and it is time for Jeff Kemp to be with us. Jeff, of course, former NFL quarterback. He is also the vice president and catalyst for helping others with family life. Jeff Kemp, always good to have you with us. Happy Easter. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Bill. Yeah, we're coming up on Good Friday, which sounds like an oxymoron, but what an amazing sacrifice that the Lord has given to us to make Easter possible.
You know, Jeff, I've been saying for quite a while here that, you know, when people realize and understand the significance of an empty grave, there is a question that has been, you know, echoing through the ages that remains to this day. And that is, now what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. It's like kind of, you know, like if it was Christmas morning and there was an amazing array of gifts underneath the tree for each of us, and we looked at it and said, wow, that's nice. That's really nice. And then we headed out of the house and went to work and went on with the rest of our life, but never opened those gifts. Never put those clothing on, never played those CDs, never enjoyed the gift that someone had sacrificed for us. It wouldn't change our life, and it wouldn't change the world. And you and I are living in days when there's too much selfishness, too much anger, too much criticism, too much abuse, and you know, tragic behavior. Obviously, there's terrorism and evil. But the answer is to accept that amazing gift of love that God has made for us.
Exactly.
You're right. What are we?
And hopefully, Jeff, we can see that. I mean, that's the deal, is that it's not only the gift, but the gift giver, what God has given to us. I mean, if you were the gift giver and you gave something to somebody and they never opened it, how would you feel?
Well, the gift in this case, it's not all the gifts around the tree. It isn't my health. It isn't a good marriage. It isn't healthy kids. It isn't a house with a 401k and, you know, a car and a chance to travel. The gift is God himself.
Amen.
Who loves us. And the best father ever, a perfect father.
Exactly.
And his son, who wants a relationship with us, who wants to change that kind of selfish DNA in us to become an unselfish and loving DNA. And I know, you know, you and I aren't all the way there, but we're on that journey, and we're different than we would have been, you know?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And once you're on the journey, you don't ever want to go back, really, you know? Hey, Jeff, I want to talk to you about your latest video, and you're facing your Blitz series. You talk about throwing the perfect pitch. You know, the fact of the matter is that sometimes we get disappointed by people, and sometimes we're frustrated by certain people. Break that down for us.
Well, you must be a baseball dude, because you called it the perfect pitch. I call it the perfect pass.
Perfect pass, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I am. I'm sorry, I exposed myself. You're right.
The story was being a practice.
It still works, though, doesn't it?
And of course it does, yeah. The story was in practice one day when Joe Montana threw a pass to Jerry Rice, two Hall of Famers in practice, and the ball hit Jerry in the chest, and he ran for a touchdown in practice, and Mike Holmgren, the quarterback coach, said, great, great throw, Joe. And the Hall of Fame, you know, coach who's now deceased, Bill Walsh, looked at Mike and said, that's not good enough. That's not a good pass, Mike. It's got to be 1 foot in front of him, not on his chest. It's got to make it easy for him to keep running. We can't have it bounce off his shoulder pads, and we can't have it slow it down. The standards need to be higher than that. And so then I go into the explanation that in pro football, quarterbacks are throwing perfect passes to receivers so receivers can succeed, and receivers are catching anything thrown near them so quarterbacks can succeed, and offensive linemen are sacrificing and blocking so the others can succeed. The point is, the quarterback holds himself accountable to a high, high standard of throwing the ball well to the receiver to make the receiver's job easier, and the receiver does the same toward the quarterback. But if we had, you know, only high standards for how people treat us, then we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be sad. We might criticize, and we might hold on to some bitterness, and we're going to sit around like small-minded consumers. But we will do so much better if we think about, how can I throw the perfect pass to someone? How can I say the right thing to my wife? How can I say something to my daughter right now that blesses her? How can I respond in this work situation in the way that gives others the best chance to succeed? But rather, rather than always wanting it to be our way and then criticizing others when they do it. So it's just flipping the tables, expecting more of yourself than of others.
And this is counter to the culture, as you mentioned earlier, Jeff, you know, what is happening in our society today. This is counter. When you see things that happen in Brussels, it is sobering to help us realize that maybe it's not all about us. And we need to meditate and have, you know, as the Bible calls it, that Salem moment on these events so that we draw from it, you know, the eternal perspective, don't we?
Well, you know, a long-term view of things always helps you make better decisions. And secondly, if you remember, it's not really about you. There's a God who made us, and he made us to operate in a certain way. And when we run the show ourselves, we really mess it up. But when we let God be in charge, that leads us to patience, that leads us to kindness, that leads us to turn the other cheek, that leads us to courage that will stand up to defend someone else, not the small-minded bravado that argues with people and gets defensive and wants to, you know, flip off the person who cut us off on the freeway. Our hearts need to be changed. And if our hearts get filled with love, then we're able to love others. And one by one, we can make the world better. You can't fix the whole world. It's obviously got its huge flaws. But you can fix your part of it. You can make more peace in your home. You can bring more peace to your workplace. You can coach your Little League team in a way that gives kids without parents some love and some dignity and some value and some honor and some identity. We can treat people who disagree with us with respect and work harder to explain our principles rather than just attack the people that are holding those principles. So that starts with love, and that starts with God, and that's why you want to hold yourself to a higher standard to serve and love and relate to other people.
And what you're pointing out here, Jeff, is that it is about relationships. We're not our own island. This is the way God created us, is to interact with one another. And as you say, the key to great relationships and thriving in life is to demonstrate high standards in how you speak and treat other people, right?
Yep. And, you know, a simple way for all of us listeners to keep that in mind is just ask yourself the question today, am I an investor in other people or a consumer? Yes. Am I an investor in relationships? Or am I all about me? And Jesus was not all about him. He was about us. He considered us and our needs before his own, and he sacrificed himself to serve. We should model him to be investors.
Again, and that's the gift that awaits us in that empty tomb, and hopefully you find your answer this Easter Sunday. Jeff Kemp, former NFL quarterback, vice president, catalyst for helping others with family life. Jeff, as always, happy Easter. Thank you so much.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
You need a follow. Your hands on my tomorrow.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It's always good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, which comes to you Monday through Friday from 9 to 12 noon Eastern on these 270-plus markets and around the world via WWCR and shortwave. With us right now, we have the honor to be talking with Dr. Tony Evans, one of the country's most respected leaders in evangelical circles as a pastor, teacher, author, and speaker. He serves the body of Christ through his unique ability to communicate complex theological truths through simple yet profound illustrations while addressing the practical issues of today. Dr. Tony Evans, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. It is great to have you with us. You know, one of the things when I was reading about you, I didn't realize that you've been the chaplain for the Dallas Mavericks for, what, three decades now?
Oh, yeah, over that, since 1980.
Wow. Well, and then of course, and then you were also the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys as well. So
yeah, my son's taking over that one for me.
Well, good. Well, you've been rather busy, and I know by the same token, in terms of being a pastor to pastors, and you know, your heart looking over what's going on in our country today. We've lost our moral compass. The Gallup poll 8 months ago has said that the secular market is saying, where is the church? And Dr. Tony Evans is being one of those voices for the church in trying to reconnect our country with its moral compass.
Well, absolutely. We're watching and participating in the devolution of a nation. We're watching our nation unravel right before our eyes. And unfortunately, much of that has to do with the failure of the church to be what God created when he created the church. And therefore, the influence of the church in society seems to be disregarded, null and void, while we carry on business as usual. So this is a wake-up call, if we've ever needed one, for the church to reassert itself as the legitimate body of Christ, influencing, impacting the culture in which we reside.
Well, we've got these dynamic pulls between the political and the spiritual. And politically, America senses, and I'm talking about the body politic, is sensing that it's losing its country. And I know you would say that that's probably a good sense there. You need to go with your instincts, because more and more we're losing grip of this great American experiment, a country that has been so greatly blessed by God, because we have notably turned our back on God.
Well, 2 Chronicles 15:3-6 says it all. In those days, there was no true God, no teaching priest, no law. Citizen rose up against citizen, city rose up against city, and nation rose up against nation. And then it concludes with this statement, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. If God is your problem, only God is your solution. And so that's what the political world doesn't understand, that there is a spiritual deterioration, and that solution will not be answered by Air Force One, no matter who's on the plane. It's got to come because God has been reinvited and his manifest presence. That was an assumption with all the flaws, and there were some major flaws in the establishment of this nation, but in the midst of that, there was an assumption that this republic could not survive unless it had a moral frame of reference.
Exactly.
That frame of reference is disappearing, and with that disappearance, the God of the Bible is disappearing with it in terms of his manifest presence. And so that vacuum is now being filled with the passive wrath of God, recorded in Romans 1. The passive wrath of God is where God turns a God-rejecting people over to the repercussions of their denial of him. And so we are watching the repercussions of the divine exit.
Well, and we have to make sure, as you say, Dr. Evans, that we're looking to the right one for the solution. It's not going to be, even though we're in a political season voting for a president, it's not going to be a president. We've seen this time and time again. You know, we're human beings with our failings, but why not go to the Creator and one who puts the nations in place and leadership in place and cry out to him and ask that he give us the right leader?
Absolutely. The God is not going to skip the church house to fix the White House. Mm-hmm. If we can't get our house, if God can't get his own people's house in order, why would we think he would do something with that house?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to get this, and that is why I'm so passionate about the reigniting of the church to be what the church should be, so that God has something to work through in order to influence and affect the culture if he does not come back in the immediate future.
Yeah, well, Dr. Evans, like you say, you're very active and passionate about it. You're putting feet to your prayers. In fact, I understand you're the honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer coming up on May the 5th. If this nation ever needed to be on its knees before a holy God, it is now, as we continue to lose grip of this great American experiment.
Well, absolutely. It's got to start with fasting and prayer. It's got to start with throwing ourselves on the mercy of God with repentant hearts and reinviting his presence into our lives and into our community of faith. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, then it depends on what we do when we get up off of our knees. Are we making disciples and not just making church members? And are we doing things that the world can see? Matthew 5:16, let men see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So it's hitting our knees and it's getting up off of our knees, and both have to work together.
Well, I know one of your favorite Psalms, 128, blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Certainly, we're very anemic in terms of the fear of the Lord that's being demonstrated in this country today, and the blessings are falling by the wayside. And I know this is why in the Gallup poll, the secular market was saying, hey, what's going on? It's not the same as usual. We're losing grip of this America. And what I'm hearing around the country, Dr. Evans, is people are absolutely fearful for the first time in their lifetimes that we may be losing this democratic republic.
Well, I mean, they have a lot to be concerned about, because that's very, very real. When you see the kind of decisions that are being made, when you see the redefinition of the marriage, when you see the abortion on demand, when you see the resurrection of racial strife, when you see the nature of political discourse, it is clear that we have become a nation out of control. Mm-hmm. And the only group that can bring it back into control is the church.
Yeah. Well, the Bible clearly states that a people without vision will perish. And I like another version that says cast off restraint. We definitely have cast off restraint. We're like that hot air balloon that's got a puncture and it has no anchoring. There's no mooring to it. And so we're willy-nilly, pell-mell all over the place. And it's no wonder people are confused and they're fearful. And in some cases, Dr. Evans, which is very concerning for me, is they're becoming hopeless.
Yes, and you know, you can go a long way when you have hope, because hope is joyful expectation about the future. But when you lose hope, then everything collapses because you don't see any way out. And so you are right. We're seeing a hopelessness set in. But that also creates an opportunity because our view of God always gives us hope. And because our view of God gives us hope, we must passionately remove the extra stuff now, because this is not business as normal, and throw ourselves before the face of a holy God and seek his mercy for our failure and then his intervention into our country.
Exactly. Well, I tell people often, Dr. Evans, that I'm a but God Christian, and it stops them for a second. And I said, well, you know, when you read the Bible, you always see these hopeless situations, and there's that powerful transitionary phrase that comes into play, but God. You know, here's what humanity does, but for God and his love and compassion, he brings back and imbues in us that hope that is part of what he created in each of us to realize. Now, Dr. Evans, I want you to tell our audience about the gathering, which is an assembly that's coming up in what is going to be in Dallas, right, in September this year?
Well, yes, it's the gathering is calling spiritual leaders to Dallas from all over the country, pastors, and to cry out before the Lord together. And we also simulcast it around the country so pastors who can come can gather together in their local communities so that God will see the unity of the church crying out to him at the same time. Then at night, we're asking those same pastors to go back to their churches and to have a solemn assembly on the 21st with their own congregation so God will see now the pastors leading their congregations at the same time. That's just part one. Part two is to emphasize this issue of we need to now focus not on membership but on discipleship. We got more. God does not have many full-time representatives of him in the culture, and because he does not have that, he does not have people to work through in every dimension of the culture.
Exactly.
And thirdly, work together in your community where everybody's doing a common good work for the community, every school adopted or every block adopted, because the churches are having a visible presence for righteousness. And if we can get that threefold plan together, and so that's what we're going to do, try to get done on the 21st.
Well, that's an awesome plan. I mean, you know, God's called us to be change agents, and if we ever needed change in this country, it is now. And I know you talked about it in your book that you published last year, America Turning a Nation to God. And this is a driving force for you. And, you know, God bless you for being focused on this, for being the one that is calling, you know, pastors together and calling the church to be revived. As one friend of mine says, you know, when you're revived, it speaks that it at least says that you have to have been vived somewhere, you know, in order to be revived. And but we need to be revived. And people say, well, I'm praying for revival. I go out there and be that revival, be a revival of one, if that's what it takes. Right.
That's right. It starts with, you know, our whole philosophy is the kingdom agenda, the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life. And then that starts with the individual, it moves to the family, then it goes to the church, and from the church it should hit the world. That's God's process of transformation, and that's what we're promoting, and people can find out about all of this at TonyEvans.org.
Well, that's perfect, and that wraps it up just right. Dr. Tony Evans on Bill Martinez Live. Dr. Evans, thank you so much for being with us.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.